We want to be a really well-rounded, balanced football team. That means you can count on all three phases, and we're doing well and coming through. Whether you turn the ball over by them taking the ball off an interception or you give them a field position change with a return, those are turnovers. They have the same impact on the games. So we have to get rid of all that stuff. That can't be part of our play. And the runs and passes that we call, the defenses we call, the pressures that we call, that's part of it. But we have to make sure that the big results are in our favor, and then we have to clean our stuff up across the board.
This is Unnecessary Roughness on Raider Nation Radio, 920 AM. Here's your boy Q.
And here we go on this Friday. We come into you hearing the head coach, Pete Carroll, talk about what they have to do, what they have to stop doing to have an opportunity to get a victory and break their four-game losing streak that they're currently on and get back into the win column. That was from earlier today when Pete Carroll met with the media over at the Intermountain Health Performance Center. It is Unnecessary Roughness here on Raider Nation Radio 920. Of course, we're going to get into exactly what you just heard, what they have to do, what they have to not do, the do's and don'ts of how to get a dub. It feels like I got a book, a little yellow book, like I'm in school and I'm preparing for a big test, like, calculus for dummies. Like, that's what we need to do. We need to put together a book, right? This is going to be how to win and how not to win for dummies. This is what's going to happen. I'm going to dumb it down, going to make it as simple as possible, but in reality, just kind of put together keys to victory for the silver and black as we do each and every Friday, or at least every show we do right before game day. Again, it's Unnecessary Roughness here on Raider Nation Radio 920, and I feel like I'm in an episode of Where's Waldo, because I'm out on the streets, and you know that's my favorite place to be, is out and about. Don't want to be in studio, especially don't want to be in studio with Ari. He gets very territorial, man. He starts to mark his territory, and I don't know how he marks his own territory, but I'll leave that to your imagination. But I like to be out and about, and that's where I'm at right now. Smith's Marketplace, Sky Canyon, 9710 West Sky Canyon Parkway. Come on out here. They're having a hell of an event right now. They've got the NASCAR car out here. They've got Chris Buescher's number 17 RFK Racing Ford Mustang out here. They've got all kind of different setups. It's really cool, man. Smith's has gone out of their way to put this together where they have – it's almost like a mini carnival. So if you're looking for something to do, so some kids are out here. They're teaching them how to eat healthy. They're doing some exercises. I found a prime location, and there's a nice little, like I said, in the parking lot, there's a big little area that they have roped off where you can go by and check it out. And so we're going to be here for the next few hours. Our sister station is going to be here as well. So you can tell we're pitching in a party, man. We're going to have a party this afternoon. They got some health screenings going on. They've got a couple of big vans and vehicles out here, Bright Smiles, Bright Futures, Colgate vehicles. So basically, you know, bring the family out. You know, whatever you're doing, whatever kind of a time you're having this afternoon, have a good time. Have a good time with your boy. Come out here, hang out with us. It's 9710 West Sky Canyon Parkway. We're at the Smith's Marketplace. You cannot miss us. The Raider Nation Radio 920 van is literally on the sidewalk. Like, you cannot, if you have any kind of sense of, I don't even want to say direction, all you have to do is look up, and you'll see this big old van, and I'm camped out right behind it, and of course you can hear me because I'm the loudest dude in the building and outside the building, so you won't miss us. We've got some good hookup here on the table for you. We've got all kind of tickets. We've got cups, koozies, Raider Nation Radio 920 t-shirts, but they're going fast, man. We've already had about 5-6 people stop by before we even got started just to say what's up. Had one guy drill me on my history of Las Vegas radio, which was cool. That was a fun little blast to the past, so he learned me a little something, and again, if you want to come on by, you can get learned a little something too and get hooked up with some prizes. Again, we'll be here till 5 o'clock, get you ready for the weekend the right way. And I know a lot of folks are in town. I know my man John Train from the ATL, he just hit me up, said, Q, I touched down in town. My guy All Day Raider A, he's in the building as well. He's already here. A lot of folks were over hanging out with JT over at Top Golf, letting it be known that, hey, we're going to Allegiant Stadium on Sunday for the Raiders and Titans game. So it's always a cool weekend, man, when folks come in from out of town and folks that you talk to on the regular, whether it's here on the station or a text line or whatever the case may be. It's really cool to see that and get to meet and greet with you. And, of course, we do that at Allegiant Stadium at Coors Light Landing as well. But if you get an opportunity, if you're out and about, if you're looking for something to do, come hang out with your boy. Again, Sky Canyon, 9710 West Sky Canyon Parkway, Smith's Marketplace. You cannot miss us. We got the prizes for you. Coming up on the show today, excited about the opportunity that we have. Paul Gutierrez, Raiders.com, joins us once a week. He joins us coming up at 2:30 to talk all things silver and black. Talk about how the Raiders can get a victory and snap this four-game losing streak that they're on. Look, I heard a lot of people talking about the Tennessee Titans, and they're not a very good team, and if you can't get a win here, then what are you going to do? Look, the Tennessee Titans and their fan base, they're saying the exact same thing. about the Raiders. Like, make no mistake about it. 1-4 is 1-4. I don't care how you get there. I don't care how you slice it. 1-4 is still 1-4. Neither one of these teams have anything to brag about. Neither one of these fan bases have anything to brag about. But it is at your house, right? The Raiders are favored by 4.5 points. So they've got to let it be known that, no, we are the better team. We just have ran into some circumstances that have prevented us from winning games, but that's going to stop on Sunday. That's the attitude that they have to take. They have to go out there and show and prove that they're the better team. They can't just say about, oh, we got more talent. Oh, we got this. That. Oh, yeah, that's cool. That's fine and all. But your record is who your record is, right? You're 1-4, ultimately. So you got to find a way to improve that overall record, and it can start on Sunday versus Tennessee Titans. So Paul Gutierrez will give us his thoughts on how he believes the Raiders could do it. Also, a nice piece that he put out on Raiders.com about Jeremy Chinn and hard hits. And you saw a big hard hit that was delivered by Jeremy Chinn last week against the Colts that actually ended up forcing an incompletion. Jeremy Chinn is quietly having a good year, I think, at the back end. I know there's a couple plays that he's given up, but for the most part, Jeremy Chinn is exactly where he needs to be as that veteran safety. So he'll talk about that as well. That'll come up at 2:30. Excited to talk about the guests that we're going to have in the 3 o'clock hour, and I can't tell you exactly when we're going to have them in the 3 o'clock hour. I'm thinking it's towards the back end of the 3, like maybe 3:45-ish. But Chris Buescher, who drives the number 17 RFK Racing Ford Mustang, who's actually out here. He's part of the NASCAR Cup Series. He scored his 6th Cup Series win in September of 2024 at Watkins Glen International. He's actually going to be here. He's going to be signing autographs. I told my man Jason, who's a racer himself, I said, hey, man, if you go anywhere that I go, this is where you need to be. Right, this is right up your alley. So Chris Buescher is supposed to join us at some time in the 3 o'clock hour. I can't tell you exactly when it's going to happen, but it will happen in the second hour of the show, which is really exciting. Pretty cool to be able to talk to this guy who is a NASCAR driver. That's really cool, and I always talk about it that I'm not a fast driver, so if I'm going to get in the NASCAR with him, if I'm going to get in his car, I'm going to sit shotgun. I'm going to ride slow with him. Like, hey, man, just take it easy, man. Take it easy, man. I like to cruise. Right? They can't see you. They can't see you if you're not cruising, right? What was it back in the day, man? We used to ride up and down the block wherever we lived. There was always one block that we rode up and down, and we had to roll slow so the girls could see us. You drive it too fast, they can't see you. Right? You turn up the radio. What we used to do, no joke, man, I'll peel back the curtain. MC Breed, Ain't No Future in Your Front, right? MC Breed had, and Ari, I'm sure you could attest to this, maybe two hit songs, but Ain't No Future in Your Front was the hit, right? That was the one. But, dog, that bass used to hit so hard. That thing, Ain't No Future in Your Front, I mean, that thing used to rattle. So at any time that we got anywhere, the grocery store, the roller rink, by the high school, by some girl's house that we knew where she lived, anywhere, all of a sudden we rolled the windows down. It could be about 12 degrees outside. We roll the window down, turn that. Hey, man, hey, put it back. Put it at the beginning again, man. That's a five-minute song, man. That beat will knock for 5 minutes. We're good, right? Just to let it be known that you were there. I used to get in trouble, though. My mom used to get mad at me. Mama Q used to get mad at me when I would come home and I'd still be kind of in that zone and I would have the beat. Right? It would be up super loud. She's like, boy, when you pull in the neighborhood, if you don't turn that damn stereo down. My fault. Damn stereo was more than my damn car was. Hey, but that's what we did. Like, right now, someone's like, oh, Q, you're ashamed of yourself. No, you did it too. You just ain't going to admit it. I don't have no problem admitting it. We all weren't worth assault. I get it. So, yeah, man, I'm going to tell my guy, Chris, I'm going to say, hey, man, we got to drive slow. We got to ride slow so people can see us, right? They can notice us. We don't want to drive too fast. So that's my NASCAR racing, slow. I'll be the pace car. Let me be the pace car. I'll take my own pace. But we'll talk to him when he joins us in the 3 o'clock hour. I look forward to that conversation. 4 o'clock, we have scheduled Dr. Nicole Robick, Grambling State Band Director. So she's going to join the show. First female to be the band director there at Grambling State. Grambling State alum, just all around, just a phenomenal person that's been on the road and has choreographed things for Beyonce and many different artists and just a wealth of knowledge when it comes to the band. And, of course, Grambling State has the world-famed marching band, and it is fantastic. I've been watching them for years with the Bayou Classic. That's Grambling State versus Southern. I've been waking up as a youngster back in the day around Thanksgiving time. I'd wake up and watch that, man. That was always a lot of fun. They're going to have the Battle of the Bands at the HBCU, the Las Vegas Classic, that's going to go take place October 25th at Allegiant Stadium. We've been doing interviews each and every Friday leading up to it, and I can't wait. I already got my tickets for the event. It's going to be so much fun. October 25th, Allegiant Stadium. If you've never seen the Battle of the Bands, you're going to want to see the Battle of the Bands. So Dr. Nicole Robick, Grambling State Band Director, she'll join us at 4 o'clock, around 4 o'clock, to talk about what you could expect on October 25th. And then always on Fridays, Lee Sterling, ParamountSports.com. He'll join us to talk a little money. He'll talk about some college games, some NFL action. And you know he always has the Raiders game for us. Always lets us know his thoughts on the Raiders. This week it's the Raiders and Titans. 4.5-point favorites are the Raiders, so Lee Sterling will give us his thoughts. And, of course, we'll hear from you throughout the course of the show at 702-365-9200. Also, on yesterday, we didn't get a chance to catch up with Michael Mayer. We did catch up with me and Vinny Bonsignor, but we didn't get an opportunity to let you hear that conversation with Michael Mayer, with the tight end who's now back from concussion protocol. He's back in the mix, so we'll get that in on the show as well today. So as you can tell, man, we're locked and loaded. We got a lot to get to. Very excited about it. Again, we're out on the road. 9710 West Sky Canyon Parkway is where we're at, Smith's Marketplace. They still got more vendors rolling in. Looks like, is that a massage table that just rolled in? Is that what we're working with, a massage? Is that what that was? Okay. I'll leave it at that. I'll just tell you need to come on by. That's all I'm going to say. I'm going to go ahead and leave it at that. But there's all kind of different events going on out here that you definitely want to be a part of on this Friday, getting you ready for the weekend. So we'll be here till 5 o'clock. Before we jump into the opening drive, before we hear from you, we got to hear from E-Rob because?
Because every day matters. The older you get, the more you start appreciating day in and day out. Because you know I can't get that time back. I'm in the business of saying, not if I would have did this or if I would have did that. I'm in the business of now.
I'm in the business of now as well. So right now, let's jump into the opening drive.
The opening drive of Unnecessary Roughness on Raider Nation Radio 920 AM is brought to you by Paul Padilla. It's not about the injury. It's about the recovery.
So before I get into and throw out the topic for today, and I'm sure you can imagine what the topic is since it is a Friday, I wanted to hit a couple text messages that we have already. Raider Ramirez from SoCal said, Q, you just teleported. Weren't you just at Topgolf? Ha ha. No, that was JT. I was not at Topgolf. I might have been part of the interview that you heard him play. He did that from the Raiders Roundtable. I actually joined him and EA on Monday on Raiders.com and the Raiders Silver and Black Network that I was a part of on Monday. So he probably ran that back. I didn't get to hear it because we were setting up here at Smith's over here on 9710 West Sky Canyon. So didn't hear that. But no, I did not teleport. I have not learned how to be in two places at one time, even though I would like to be in two places at one time. If I could ever figure out how to do that, Ari, you would be in trouble. You'd be in big trouble because then I'd be in multiple locations. I'd find out how to do multiple jobs, and then it would really be a problem, man. Then I'd be – yeah, you'd be in trouble.
I would also then need to find a way to teleport so that I can be multiple places.
Oh, you got this, man. You're already AI-generated. What else do you need?
I was going to say.
How do you know?
I'm not in two places currently as I speak?
Yes, right. You might be here as well. You might get ready to get a massage.
I was just going to say.
You might get a massage. I'm just saying. There looked like there was a – massage table rolling in here, and it had a purple escort that was rolling with it. I'm just throwing it out there. Yeah. So, you might want to come out here and check it out. I'm the weatherman, right? I'm just the weatherman. So I'm telling you, it may rain. You might want a coat, right? You could choose not to do it. I'm just the weatherman, just passing along the message. So AI-generated Ari, definitely appreciate that. Sir Whiskey Ray hit us up already. Happy Friday, gentlemen. I'll get straight to my keys to the game versus Tennessee. My only key to victory is this. Four quarters of competitive smash-mouth football. That's it. I want to see no turnovers as well. I'm sick to my stomach of all these turnovers. I want a victory come Sunday. Thanks, as always, gentlemen. Appreciate it. Raiders at Sir Whiskey Ray, P.S. Anytime I hear Blow the Whistle by Too Short, that gets my blood going. Yeah, Sir Whiskey Ray, thanks for the text. Appreciate you. I think that gets everyone's blood going, right? That's just that anthem, man. It doesn't matter who you are. Doesn't matter where you're from. Doesn't matter what you represent. I think every time you hear Blow the Whistle, it just makes you feel some kind of way. Right, I mean, it's just one of those anthems that has, crossed over to everybody, and I could definitely appreciate that. Shout out to my guy Too Short, who was on the show not too long ago. So, Sir Whiskey Ray, thanks so much for that. I do appreciate you. But you hit it on the head. Keys to victory: four quarters of competitive smash mouth football, no turnovers. You're not the only one that is sick to your stomach about turnovers. Matter of fact, Ari, I think you got that sound from Patrick Graham, don't you? When it comes to turnovers, I asked him the question. He had mentioned in his press conference on yesterday. He had mentioned that, you know, they tipped the ball and it goes up in the air, but unfortunately they didn't get the ball. They didn't get the interception. So I brought it up again right after he finished talking about it. I was like, well, why is that? So he got a little irritated, not at me, but he got a little irritated at the fact that, well, they're not creating turnovers.
The defense has caused some tip balls and some batted balls, like you mentioned with Snowden, but they're not coming up with the turnover. Is that just it's coming, it's going to come in bunches? Or how do you generate more of those turnovers?
Here's what I would tell you. I'm so tired. I'm trying to be mindful of my language of talking about whatever it is we got to do. Mm-hmm. That's how they feel. We got to do. So I could talk about we're doing this, that. We just got to make it happen. Got to take the ball away. However it happens, that's what we got to do. So that's how I'm talking to them. You can see my whole mood and demeanor changed. Done talking. We got to do. So we're unlucky. I mean, the language I would use right now, F that. Like, but no, we got to do. That's what we're, that's what says just win, baby. You just got to do it. That's what we got to do.
Okay, all right, guys.
Thanks.
So you could tell that ended it. That was the ender right there. I mean, after that, I mean, you can hear the mood in his voice change. You can hear the smile go away. I mean, you can hear it all. And again, it wasn't at me. He wasn't mad at me. It was the fact of I'm not wrong, right? And we've been harping on turnovers for I don't know how long. I've been talking about turnovers. I've been talking about tip balls. I've been talking about being a ball hawk. I've been talking about this and talking about that. And I'm sure he's been doing it 10 times what I'm doing it. And it just hasn't come to fruition when there's other teams out there that the ball just finds them. It seems like the ball finds them where they're not going to hunt the ball. It's like the ball's hunting them. Hey, where's Devin Lloyd at? Oh, here he is. Here, the ball's going to go right to him. The fact that he has four interceptions alone as a linebacker for the Jaguars and the Raiders have only created four turnovers. Turnovers as a team. The Jaguars have 14 turnovers. That's the difference between a team that's 4-1 and a team that's 1-4. It's just that simple. So keys to victory. What's it going to take to stop the bleeding? Who needs to stand out? I'm going to tell you one key to victory for me. And normally I don't really deep dive into, you know, special teams and everything that they've got to do. But special teams has got to be way better, right? A.J. Cole sounds like he's going to go. I didn't think he was going to go. Sounds like he's going to go. Pete Carroll said earlier today that he kicked the ball in practice and looked really good, so he'd be surprised if he doesn't go. That's a positive. That's a real good positive that A.J. Cole sounds like he's going to be back. So I'm good with that. He's the punter and the holder. Don't forget about that. Kick coverage needs to be way better. I would like to see a return. I've been begging for a return. I'll pass on the return. I don't need a kick return. Just cover. Just don't allow a big play to happen. And when I say don't let a big play happen, don't let Chimere DK beat you. I mean, if you know who it is that could beat you, don't let him beat you. 17, that's the guy. If you have to kick it and let him get the ball, you better get on him, right? He's one of those dudes that I probably would not kick the ball to him. I would probably try to avoid at all costs. I might even be more comfortable with letting him take the ball at the 35 as opposed to letting him break one. This dude has 25 kick returns for 666 total yards. That's an average of 26.6 per return. And I get it. If I gave him the 35, that's even better than that. But I'm telling you, man, those back-breaking kick returns are something that you just don't need. He had a 71 as his long. He had another one took back to the house, but it got called back because of a blocking in the back penalty. This dude's a rookie, but he's a stud. Now, he's only returned six punts because, the Titans don't force too many punts, so that's good for the Raiders, right? Six punts for 82 yards is 13.7 per punt return. But watch out for him. That's going to be my number one key. Do not let Chimere DK beat you. Because with these two teams playing at the level that they're playing at and knowing that there's mistakes that could be made on both ends, this ultimately game could come down to, we could be talking on Monday about how did the game get lost? Well, that kick return. That kick return that went back to like the 30, put them in field goal range. Boom, they kicked a field goal, won the game. Like that could be the backbreaker, and I don't want that to be the backbreaker. So normally I'm going to talk offense, defense, start fast, you know, throw it in the end zone, don't turn the ball. Hey, man, special teams has to be 100% better than what it's been. It just has to. That should be non-negotiable. Like, if it's not, on Monday there needs to be a meeting in the office. Right? I mean, it's just that simple. There needs to be a meeting in the office. There needs to be a come-to-Jesus meeting. Like, how is this going to get better? How are you going to get this better moving forward? And if you're not able to get this moving in the right direction, maybe someone else can. I mean, that's how dead serious I am about the special teams. It has to be a lot better because it has not been very good. And that's a shame. 702-365-9200. Want to hear from you. Keys of victory. What is it going to take to stop the bleeding? Who needs to stand out? Let's go out and go to Oakland. Oh, man, let's go to East Oakland. Talking about too short. Let's go out to East Oakland. East Oakland Raider, welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Who's that, Nick Q? Can you hear me?
Oh, I got you loud and clear, brother. How you doing?
I'm good. I'm chilling. Just got off of work. You know, I'm not at any right now, Q. I'm on my way. I'm going to the airport.
Nice. I heard that. Get on that 880. Be careful out there.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Keys to victory. I got to say, Gino, don't do the same things you've been doing these past weeks. Hold on to the ball, no picks, and I think we should be good. Defense doesn't look that good sometimes, but that's because...
Oh, did we lose him? Did we lose him? The 880 got him, man. The 880 got him. I got him. Gino's got to be a lot better. I got that. Defense, you know, the thing about the defense, it'll look good at times, but then it's on the field forever. And it has to keep coming back on the field, and at some point, the dam just busts. So I have confidence if, especially if Vinny brought this up yesterday, I thought it was a great point. If the Raiders could ever play with a lead, Adam Butler kind of referred to it as well when we talked to him in the locker room, right? I mean, play with a lead. Get a 10-point lead. Get a 14-point lead. Make a team turn one-dimensional. Make them throw the ball because they're trying to play catch-up. And then let those guys pin their ears back, the Maxes, the Adam Butlers, the Kuntzes, the Tyrese. Let those guys pin their ears back and get after the quarterback. But don't allow them to open up their whole playbook because they're not playing from behind. Matter of fact, they're winning. I thought that was a great point that Adam Butler said and that Vinny brought up yesterday here on the show. Thanks for the call, man. Be safe. And when you get to Allegiant, man, make sure you come to the Torch. We'd love to say what's up to you. Greg in New Jersey said, hey, Q, I hear you on the kick returns. I sent you video of my son's kick return a few weeks ago. Hope you liked it. Anyway, how about we stay in our lanes, contain, and wrap up on special teams? Absolutely. Amen. Amen. I agree with that 100%. 805 Raider said, to the beach, y'all. MC Breed might have the best one-hit wonder of all time in hip-hop anyways. Raiders, just get a win on Sunday. Can we just get a win? Run the ball down their throats and let's go. 805 Raider, that was fantastic. Yeah, MC Breed was dope, man. That was so great. He said, man, if I was the president, I would stay fat. You leave it up to me, I'll paint the White House black. There ain't a future in your front. I was like, hold up now. When my man hit him with that line, I was like, that's the coldest line ever. My man said, if I was a president, I would stay fat. That's Flint, Michigan talking right there. That's a different kind of breed. That's why his name was MC Breed. But, yeah, man, shout out to you, 805 Raider. I like that. Going from 805 Raider to Money Mitch. Money Mitch, welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Q, Ari, hope everything's well. Happy Friday.
Happy Friday to you, Mitch. How you doing, brother?
Doing well, you know. The Dodgers kick, they're in, get some rested. Pitching came through. Now the hitting's got to wake up. Just like our offense, keep the ball on the ground. I want to see some sacks with these in line. You know, I'm going to go back. You know how you with me? You hold on, brace yourself. That was so unbelievable how Philly really took it yesterday between the Dodgers and the Giants and upset. See, any given Sunday, anybody can win. So I'm not saying Tennessee's a cupcake. I guess we're just as bad as them. We're as bad as us. Get after Cam, make a mistake. He's still a rookie. I mean, even Jackson Dart has a loss under his belt. That was some game last night, Jackson Dart.
Yeah,
and of course, I'm gonna lead you off this phone call with Fight On. Mikael Levin's having the best season of any college player. Let's get in the Heisman. You gotta vote. You vote for him, baby. Have a nice weekend, Q.
Mitch, thanks for the call. Appreciate you, man. That was short and tight. I like it. Really good stuff. And yeah, man, that game last night, Thursday night football with the Eagles and the Giants. And, you know, the thing about the Giants, they're not a very good team. And we'll see them up close and personal. They play the Raiders week 17 at Allegiant Stadium, so we'll see them. But they have so much energy and juice and belief in that fan base right now. Why is that? Because they have a young quarterback. Where's Raider Mac when I need him? They have a young quarterback that they believe in. A guy that's definitely not where he needs to be, but he's got some swagger. He's got some confidence. He's got some arm talent. He's got some legs talent where he can run. And they got a young running back in Cam Scataboo that's like what you would imagine a running back being. The guy that's just going to run through someone's face. Like you like that kind of guy. A guy that you know if you're going to tackle him, you're going to be bruised up the next day. You've got to make a business decision when you tackle that dude. They're not going to go win, you know, 10, 12 games, go to the playoffs. They're not, right? Who knows how many games they're going to win. But they all have belief because they're watching their young quarterback potentially grow. And Brian Daboll, to his credit, a lot of people questioned him, including myself, made the move in week 3. Oh, going to go put the rookie quarterback in, even though the Chargers are coming to town. It's a really tough defense. He said, nah, he's ready. He's ready. Let's go put him out there. Went out there and beat him. Now, they took an L last week to the Saints, but then they got this dub last night against the Eagles. They have belief. They have confidence. They're going to watch and allow this guy to grow. At some point, and this is not a shot at Geno Smith, it's just reality, at some point the Raiders got to get their guy. At some point, the Raiders have to have their guy where they have belief in. Everyone has belief in Ashton Jeanty. Everyone's fired up about Jeanty. But could you imagine if the Raiders had Ashton Jeanty as a stud running back and a hotshot quarterback, young quarterback that they went and drafted, made the move for, and believe is the future? That's the kind of energy that you need. That's the kind of, I mean, man, he's rejuiced, if that's even a word. He's given that juice to that fan base. MetLife Stadium last night was on fire. Folks were so pumped up just seeing the future out there playing. Between Cam Scadaboo and Jackson Dart, they got a little something. They got a lot of work to do. They still got plenty of building to do, but they have belief. 702-365-9200. KP said the Raiders will Raider at some point. That's the only thing I could bet on. Damn. Frank said, I'm looking for consistently competent, physically violent play in the three phases. Go Raiders. I like that. Consistently competent, physically violent play. All right, write that on the wall. Write that up on the window in the studio right there. Consistently competent, physically violent play in the three phases. I'm with that, man. We should live our lives like that. Right? We should live our lives like that. I could appreciate that. So keep that feedback coming, man. 702-365-9200. Let me know. You know how we do on a Friday, man. Let me know. What are the keys to victory for the Raiders? What is it going to take for the Raiders to stop the bleeding? Who needs to stand out the most in your opinion? 702-365-9200. Again, we're on the road today. Excited to be here. Smith's Marketplace, 9710 West Sky Canyon Parkway. We're going to be here till 5 o'clock. We got Paul G. Paul Gutierrez, Raiders.com. He'll join us next. It's Raider Nation Radio 920.
That was the opening drive of Unnecessary Roughness on Raider Nation Radio 920 AM. Brought to you by Paul Padilaw. It's not about the injury. It's about the recovery.
Did we just do a wrestling walk-up song? Was that just a wrestling walk-up song that I just recognized as we're here at Smith's on Sky Canyon, 9710 West Sky Canyon to be exact? Here at the Marketplace, Paul Gutierrez, who joins us now. Did I just recognize, was that a wrestling walk-up song?
You just heard Latino Heat for Eddie Guerrero. I like that one better than I Lie, I Cheat, I Steal. It's still Hispanic Heritage Month. So, yeah, that's exactly what you heard. How you doing, man?
I'm fantastic. And, yeah, I just got a text message. Oh, my gosh, where are you guys playing Eddie Guerrero's theme song? I love it. So there you go. I literally just got that text message as we were listening to that. So I guess you had a really good walk-up song today.
I tried to. You know, that's always the challenge, right, is to come up with something different, something relative, something that makes the people kind of move in their seats, I guess, as I'm coming to the ring to join you. There you go.
You did it. Well done. I'm not mad at that at all. And before we get into anything Raiders-related, I wanted to tip the cap to you and also your student that you teach a class, a communication class there at UNLV, for any that don't know. And I could clearly tell that your student is headed in the right direction, man. J-Mo came by the station, hung out with me for about an hour, maybe an hour and 15. And, man, he was all ears, taking a lot of notes. He's got a bright future, man. So well done with that student right there.
No, thanks for that. And I'm glad he's able to come see you. Yeah, so I teach a sports reporting class at UNLV 2 days a week. And then we're in the Sports Hub, which is a phenomenal facility. Something that when I was in school back in the early 90s, we couldn't even have dreamt of. But to be able to go back there and to get back and to teach and have them actually listen and want to do things, that's great. So their assignment, as you know, I assigned them to go talk to different people, sports broadcasters, commentators in the market. And J-Mo got you. He made a couple trades. I don't know if he told you or not, but he made a couple trades to get to you. So, you know, he got to see what you do on the daily and what your background is and everything. So, yeah, I'm looking real forward to seeing what they come back with and what their stories are. They're due next week. So, all about deadlines, all about the taking the reader someplace where they can't get on their own.
Yeah, no, it was great. And just talking to him and hearing his story, and he's a young man from Richmond, California, so we had those Bay Area roots and those Bay Area ties, and really good dude, man. So I think that he's going to go far. And you know how it is, man. Guys that are eager to work, those are the kind of guys that we really do appreciate. So well done by you. Well done by him as well. So that's really good stuff. Again, Paul Gutierrez is with us here, Raiders.com. Now, you got a piece out on Raiders.com that I think is really good right now about Jeremy Chinn and the fact that he sat stone-faced watching highlights of bone-crunching hits authored by himself and his uncle, who's Steve Atwater. Chinn, though, got animated when it came to discussing how the Raiders can get out of their funk. Tell us about this piece that you put together and help with Jeremy Chin.
Yeah, it was interesting. So he joined me in the podcast studio this week for upon further review, and he was my player guest this week. And I wanted to bring him in. And usually, you know, we'll working with the producers of the show, specifically Peyton, and we'll pull up some old highlights of videos and things. And it took me back in time. You know, like when I was in high school in the 80s and before our football games, my senior year especially, we would watch Lawrence Taylor's Crunch Course to watch all the big hits to get ourselves juiced for the game, right? So we pull this up, and we show the big Steve Atwater hit where he just demolishes Christian Okoye on Monday Night Football in 1990. I don't know how many listeners out there can remember that, but it's on YouTube. And then Jeremy had the big hit in Indianapolis last week where he kept the receiver from coming down with the ball in bounds. Plus, he's had a lot of hits over his career. And I was watching him watch the highlights in the studio, stone-faced, no reaction whatsoever. Mm-hmm. So I mentioned that to him, and he just kind of smiled. He goes, well, yeah, those are good things, but you know, it was a nice hit to have, but I could have played better. We could have played better. And you know, when you're on the wrong end of a 40-6 score, that's probably right. The best perspective to have. So as we kept talking throughout the course of the interview, we get to the end, and then I'm asking, well, what do you guys have to do? Because you start off fast. You get a three and out, and then all of a sudden it's six straight touchdown drives. That's nearly unheard of. And he gets animated, and he's talking. He's talking about all the things they can do better. And that's why he says that's the beauty of the NFL. Is that you do have to take it on that Sunday, but once that, you always have another game coming up. You have another practice coming up to try to fix those things, and he feels like they have it. And it's a good opportunity, especially with a Titans team that's coming in. And like we've talked about before, they're both coming in with the same record. The Titans 1-4 feels just a little different than the Raiders 1-4 right now because of what they both looked like last week.
Yeah, and the fact that the Titans believe that they have their franchise quarterback, right, and they're going to allow him to develop, and there's a chance, you know, for him to get better and better and better, so they feel like they've got something to grow on, where the Raiders are still trying to figure things out. So, Paul, I'll ask you the million-dollar question. What do they have to do to get out of their funk? I mean, they're on a four-game losing streak.
Yeah, I feel like I'm cheating a little bit because I was listening earlier, but it's all about the turnover battle, takeaway versus turnover. You know, if they can not turn the ball over and take it away a couple times, there you go. But here's the real X factor to this whole thing that a lot of people aren't really – and I tweeted this out, and I was kind of cryptic about it. All these blocked kicks that they're giving up on special teams, whether it was the blocked field goal against the Bears or the blocked punt that injured A.J. Cole, they came from the same part of the field, the same position. Mm-hmm. The same position as a blocker that Michael Mayer had been playing before he went out. So now that Michael Mayer is back, you're wondering, okay, so does he go back out there, or do you kind of hide him because of the concussion issue? Either way, that's something that they have to address going forward, is that right, the tail guy on the end there out on the right-hand side. That's where guys have been able to come run free. That's Michael Mayer's spot on special teams. So whether he's out there or not, it's definitely something that they have to address. And that, to me, is the X factor in this game if it does come down to special teams, as well as Jeremy Chin potentially, and I'm not giving away any state secrets here, but potentially having to spy on Cam Ward, because Cam Ward is kind of a dual threat guy that has yet to really have that get right game. And if you're playing against a defense that's been struggling, what better time to have that get right game than against a defense that is still trying to find its identity?
Yeah, no, there's no doubt about that. It's great nuggets right there. Paul Gutierrez, Raiders.com, is with us here on Raider Nation Radio 920. Unnecessary roughness. We've seen Jack Besh and his snap count kind of increase. I feel like we're going to continue to see that. Ashton Gentry, obviously, he's the guy that everyone's going to be paying attention to. He's gotten involved in the passing game as well. How much do you expect to see from the young guys like a Gentry, like a Besh, even a Thornton as well?
Yeah, it seems like you can't, you know, obviously there's only so many balls you can throw. There's only so many positions guys can be out there. So it would seem that if Besh was going to get more run, who's it going to be at the expense of? It's not going to be at the expense of Jacoby, is it? It's not going to be at the expense of Trey, no. So then you look at Dante. And I thought it was real telling what Geno said. Again, he wasn't throwing anybody under the bus. He was just speaking. Matter of fact, on that second pick that he threw, as terrible as that looks on film, you're watching and you go, okay, well, I guess if Dante does sit a little sooner, he's wide open. But then I start wondering, okay, well, then that's a two-yard completion. What's the point of that play when you had Trey streaking down the field? So if Jack Besh is getting some run, it's probably at the expense of Dante. And I don't know if they really miss that, because Dante's supposed to be the big, fast burner running down the field, and he's still having that connection issues, connectivity, so to speak, with Geno. Trey obviously has that connection with him. So maybe, possibly, who knows? Jack Veitch gets more of a run in Dante's slot, whereas Trey becomes more of the deep threat.
Yeah, what have you thought about Trey Tucker? I mean, he's a guy that he's been making big plays, excuse me, and we don't really talk about him that much, but he's been making big plays. What have you thought about how he's kind of evolved into a wide receiver and almost Geno's go-to guy this year?
Yeah, in a weird way, almost at the expense of Jacoby, right? Because early on, It seemed like Jacoby was the guy, obviously, because of the track record that he had here last year. But then a lot of the interceptions were because, you know, for lack of a better term, it looked like Geno was staring down Jacoby. So the book was out and defenses were able to roll that way. Trey just quietly put together a resume here and tape where he's more of a complete receiver. And he's not just the small slot guy. He's not just the fast guy that can run post routes. I had him on the podcast a couple of weeks earlier, too, right after that Washington game where he had the three touchdown catches. And, you know, wasn't in a good mood. Yeah, personally, it was great to have three touchdowns, but they got worked in that game, too. So nothing to celebrate on a team-wide scale. So it's real intriguing to me to watch him put together this because he's not the prototypical body of a number one receiver, and yet he obviously has that connection. You can make the argument that he's got the best connection with Geno right here, right now, of everybody in that wide receiver room.
Yeah, he does. He does. He's playing some good ball right now, and he's a guy that they also get involved in the run game as well, just hitting him with those jet sweeps. So I like to see Trey Tucker continue to evolve. On the defensive side of things, do you expect to see more Darian Porter, maybe a little less Caillou Blue Kelly? Because right now, teams are attacking him.
Yeah, and that's the thing, is that as a defensive back especially, you have a very short memory. So That would be a question for the coaches, I guess, to see, well, how short or how long is Caillou Blue's memory? I'm just bummed because I like using the Caillou, the kid character from when our kids were kids. The cartoon character, that little round-headed kid looked like Charlie Brown. To use some gifts on him if Caillou made a play. But, you know, it's hard, right? I mean, In the NFL – you really, once you get exposed and the book is out on you, then teams are going to keep attacking you until you can tell them to stop doing it. So, you know, Pete Carroll being still kind of seen as a defensive back guru, I mean, he obviously sees some things he likes, sees some things he doesn't like. And, you know, if you get a high draft pick that can go out there and play and has that body type that is more akin to what Pete Carroll is used to seeing, you're going to roll that way too. So it's, you know, I hate to say it because it's totally, you know, it is what it is. It's the competition factor here. And it's not saying that Caillou Blue doesn't deserve it, but if you're getting beat, then it's time to look somewhere else as well.
Right. There's no doubt. There's no doubt. Again, Paul Gutierrez, Raiders.com, is with us here, Raider Nation Radio 920. The Raiders haven't won at home yet. Obviously, they've only won one game this season, and that was on the road in week one against New England. How important is it going to be for them to get a victory? Look, I know Titans are coming in saying, hey, the Raiders aren't very good. The Raiders are looking at Tennessee. They're not very good. Somebody's going to get a victory, we think, right? There shouldn't be a tie, but okay, maybe that'll happen. But how important is it for the Raiders to start winning at home just to reward the fans that show up and show out and spend the money and, you know, just leave disappointed for them to stop feeling that way?
Well, it's huge for them just to get a win in any aspect, right? But it's even more so because to be at home because there's no atmosphere like a game in Allegiant anyway. And I think where they're going to have going for them is I don't think Titan fans are going to take over the stadium like you could see with some other fan bases that travel well. I mean, Titan fans aren't really known for traveling, so to speak. I'm sure there'll be a handful of them out there. But, it's so important for them to do well. And I think that's, you know, you hate to always try to jump into somebody's head, but when it comes to Geno, you saw that right away, especially in that Charger game, just how important it was for him to put out a good product on the field for the fans, for his new team, for his new market. So you can't – how thin is that line between putting forward your best effort and pushing and forcing something? So they have to just take what comes to them. They have to take what they want, but they also have to dictate the pace of the game. They have to dictate what happens. And if they can get off to a quick start like they did last week, and people are going to forget this because, you know, what the final score was. But, I mean, the offense – the defense forces a three and out. The offense takes up almost 10 minutes off the clock and drives all the way down. Special teams converts a field goal. You couldn't have gotten any better with that, than that. And then you look up at the scoreboard and you're like, what happened? So that's a lot of the questions, and that's what the column I wrote coming out of that game was that locker room was just as confused as it was angry. So now hopefully they turn that around and do something for a positive step forward at home, because if they lose this game, I'm not going to say the season's over, but you could pretty much see it. It's within viewing distance at that point.
Right, exactly. Yeah, what do they say? It gets late early? It's getting late early, right? So they've got to go ahead and they've got to find a way to get a dub and stop the bleeding, as we all know, and they'll do it at Allegiant Stadium against Tennessee. At least they'll have an opportunity to do it on Sunday at Allegiant Stadium versus Tennessee. Paul, fantastic stuff as always. What else you got cooking, man? What else are you working on that we should be on the lookout for?
Yeah, just the story I did
Jeremy Chin.
Yeah, but I was thinking of something else. Yeah, Jeremy Chin. But then also we've got some other things that are working with the podcast. Joined by James Jones and Cynthia Freeland as well. So that just dropped yesterday. The Jeremy Chin story, the locker room story from Monday. So there's always something kind of cooking right here. But looking forward, I'm looking forward to getting in that locker room after the game on Sunday and for the Raiders fans' perspective. Hopefully it's in a good mood.
Yeah, exactly. Me too, man. I always look forward to it, and I always look forward to it when it's a dub, because it's obviously a lot more energetic and a lot more happy when they get a dub as opposed to, well, the other side of things like it's been the last few weeks. Paul, fantastic stuff as always, man. Thanks so much for giving us some time. I always appreciate you. I'll see you in the press box coming up on Sunday.
See you then, man. Take care.
All right, my man. There he goes. Paul Gutierrez, Raiders.com. Fantastic work. Got a good piece out right now on Raiders.com about Jeremy Chin and how they can get things turned around as a veteran safety. Had a lot of good stuff to say, so you definitely want to go ahead and check that out. We want to hear from you, 702-365-9200. Give us your keys to victory. What is it going to take for the Raiders to stop the bleeding? Who needs to stand out, in your opinion? Again, we're at the Smiths on Sky Canyon, 9710 West Sky Canyon, to be exact. We're here until 5 o'clock. Of course, it started to rain a little bit, but it's rain's gone away, right? What's that song? Yeah, we did that. It's gone away. Everything is good. Come on out here. Hang out with us. Get hooked up with some prizes. Already had a handful of folks stop by. All we need is you. So come on by. Say what's up. We'll get you hooked up just like that. It's Raider Nation Radio 920. That's why Patrick Graham was irritated when I asked him the question about it. That's why you hear Pete Carroll talk multiple times about the turnovers and the emphasis that they have on it. It's just a harsh reality, and we went through it. I went through every single year of Pete Carroll at Seattle and every single year how his team fared when it came to creating turnovers, which is one of the reasons I got excited about this Raiders team. And I remember in training camp when they would pick off some passes here and there, I'm like, man, this team is not going to only have 10 interceptions this year. Right? This team is going to be closer to that 20-interception mark that I was talking about that I think that they should get. I think that should be something that they get every year. I think that this team should aim for 20 interceptions every single year. Just like Eric Allen said, old man Willie Shaw used to always say that. Hey, man, this is our target number. We're going to get 20 interceptions. Who's going to go get them? Who's going to be responsible? And I know that that's not necessarily the approach that they have now. I know they don't necessarily put a number on it. I get that. But you got to do something. You got to do something to create some kind of competition where these guys get amped up to go get the ball. Like Eric Stokes, we talked to him on yesterday in the locker room, me and Vinny Bonsignor, and he said, sometimes guys go looking for the big hit. Guys go head hunting instead of going ball hunting. So you got to make a decision. Sometimes, like Jeremy Chin had a nice breakup on the sideline against the Colts, right? Big hit, made the guy go out of bounds. He didn't get both feet down. That's an incompletion. That's great. That's when a big hit is warranted. Some other times, you got to go chase the ball. You got to go chase it. Like, this team has, I don't know how many Hall of Famers in Canton, Ohio, that were able to go see ball, get ball. So many. Right? To the point where number 24 has been passed down multiple times and multiple Hall of Famers. 21. Right? EA just went into the Pro Football Hall of Fame. Right? Guys that go get the ball. Whether that was Old Man Willie, whether that was Charles Woodson, whether that was, they've had safeties that have come up with big plays. Back in the day, Terry McDaniel and Albert Lewis used to go get ball, see ball, get ball. All these guys. Plenty of them. I can go through the history of them. These guys need to go find a way to create turnovers. We got hour number two on the way. We want to hear from you. Keys to victory. What is it going to take for the Silver and Black to stop the bleeding? It's Raider Nation Radio, 920.